In this first session, I describe the role of meditation in Buddhism, why Buddhists meditate. First, I take you in your imagination to the hills in central Sri Lanka, to a Buddhist meditation center that I know well. I used to meditate there. It's surrounded by mountains and trees. To reach it, you can take a trishaw or a van, but you can also walk up a winding path through trees with views of mountains. The living is simple, hard beds, vegetarian food, with a fast from the main meal at 12 noon to the next morning, although a snack is allowed in the evening, crackers and perhaps a bit of cheese. This brings life closer to the monastic life there. The centre attracts Westerners and also Sri Lankans, some groups, some individuals, but mainly lay people. The schedule at this meditation centre. Well, 4:45 is the rising gong, so that you can get to the meditation hall at 5 o'clock for group meditation. Tea at 6 o'clock. And then if there's someone to teach yoga, there's a yoga session at 6:30. Breakfast is at 7:30. And then there's what is called working meditation, from 8 to 9:15. And that means cleaning the toilets, doing some gardening, cutting the vegetables for lunch. And then it's back into the meditation hall for group meditation from 9:30 to 11. And that involves sitting, but also walking meditation. From 11 to 12, individual and outdoor meditation, enjoying the beautiful countryside. And then 12 o'clock, lunch. After lunch, 12:30 to 2:30, meditators can rest, go to the library, or have a session with the meditation teacher. Then at 2:30 to 4, it's back in the meditation hall for group meditation, sitting and walking. Then at 4 o'clock, tea, and it's the only point in the day when you can actually talk to your fellow meditators, developing right speech. At 4:30, if there's a yoga teacher there, again, another session of yoga. 5:30, meditation in nature, watching the sunset. Again, that's a free time. 6:30, back in the meditation hall for group meditation and some chanting. 7:30, a snack, your crackers and cheese. And then 8 o'clock, discussion and metta meditation, loving kindness meditation. And then most people are in bed by about 9 o'clock because of the early rise. When I used to go, the director and meditation teacher was someone called Godwin Samararatna. He died some time ago. The schedule I've just outlined was his. And as you could see, it combined sitting in the meditation hall with individual practice. Many Westerners came, and he taught a form of meditation that was absolutely rooted in Buddhism, but could be practiced by Buddhists and also non-Buddhists. After his death, some of his lectures were printed by his devotees, the people who'd meditated under him. And this is one of the things he said in one of his sessions. And it's now been published in a book called The Gentle Way of Buddhist Meditation. It is interesting to see the things we do to keep our body healthy. We feed our body. We keep the body clean. When the body becomes sick, we go to the doctor and get medicine to cure the illnesses. We do so many things to keep the body healthy. An interesting question is, what do we do to keep our mind healthy? Have you given thought to this very important question? We have to be clear about what makes our mind sick, what makes our mind unhealthy. What are the symptoms of the human sicknesses of the mind? So meditation is learning about them and achieving a mind that is completely healthy. And I end the quote. Meditation is about keeping the mind healthy in Buddhism. There's one verse in one of the Pali texts, and the Pali texts are those that Buddhists in countries such as Sri Lanka, Thailand, Cambodia, Myanmar use. One of them is called the Anguttara Nikaya, in which the Buddha is recorded as saying to his monastic followers, "Monks, those beings are hard to find in the world who can admit freedom from mental disease even for a moment, save only those in whom the asavas are destroyed." Now, the asavas are corruptions, including sense desire, desiring eternal existence, wrong views, ignorance.